The disciples are in the boat, and evidently they've been out in the boat for a while, and they're hungry. And they say, we've only got one loaf of bread. What are we going to do? And it's like, Jesus goes, really? I fed 5,000, and then I fed 4,000, and you're worried because you only got one loaf, and there's only 12 of y'all? What in the world is going on? Do you not remember how much I provided for my people? And I mean, let's just face it. What did God do in the Garden of Eden? He sent all the trees out that everybody, that he could eat of every tree in the garden, except the one tree of the knowledge of good and evil. That one you're not supposed to eat. Of course, that's the one he chose to eat, but, you know, he had everything given to him. And that is part of the message that we need to understand today. That's really what this is all about, is that we, all good that comes from God, all good comes from God. And everything that we have is from God. I mean, these guys who were following after Jesus had been following after him for 3 days. He'd been preaching for 3 days. Gives a pastor some ideas. No, I promise I won't preach for 3 days. But, you know, it kind of came to mind. So he's preaching for 3 days. And these people are just so totally enamored and so totally engrossed in the word of God that they kind of forget that they haven't eaten. And Jesus finally gets done. They're 3 days out into, what does it say, a desolate place. And he says, many of them are far away from home. They're going to faint if I send them back without feeding them. See, Jesus brought them out, and it wasn't a mistake. It's not like Jesus forgot he was doing it for 3 days. He knew what was going on, but he brought the people out. And when he got there, it was clear their only hope was if God himself, or through Jesus, would do something miraculous. And in that moment, they were to learn, or they hopefully learned, that all good things come from God. That they were, at that moment, they were totally dependent upon Jesus for anything. Because without him, 7 loaves and a couple of fish aren't going to go very far amongst 4,000 people. Now, the fact of the matter is, 4 days ago, before they were starting to listen to Jesus, everything good that came to them was still also from God, and that they were totally dependent upon God 4 days ago. This just helped them realize it and open their eyes to that fact. See, it's very clear, and the reason this we have these two different stories is that Jesus seemed to preach to the Jewish people in one instance through the feeding of the 5,000 men as well as women and children, and then the feeding of the 4,000 to the Gentile community, i.e. God provides good things to all people. All good things for all people come from God. So on the feeding of the 5,000, they were on a hill. It was green. It was lush. It was very beautiful. And that was preaching to the Jewish population. And the numbers of the loaves even seemed to be somewhat significant. Now, I'm not going to fall on my sword over this if it proves that I'm not absolutely correct here. However, I find the numbers interesting. There were 5 loaves the first time. And again, we're preaching to the Jewish people. And how many baskets were collected after of those 5 loaves? 12. So it seems like that number 5 and then 7 here were 7 loaves and then 7 were gathered afterwards. And Jesus, when he's talking to the disciples, he makes it very clear. Look, we had 5 loaves and then we picked up 12 baskets. And we had 7 loaves and we picked up 7 baskets. He was really emphasizing the numbers there. And I think it's significant that the 5 loaves in a lush area where they have received nourishment, it kind of represents perhaps the Torah, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy, the word of God that tells the people of Israel and has been telling them for thousands of years that God is their God and provides for them and nourishes them. So much so that he has 12 baskets left over. Now, what could the number 12 possibly represent? Except maybe the 12 tribes of Israel. God in his word provides for all of the people of Israel their nourishment, what they need to support this body and life. And then we have the seven and the seven here preaching to the Gentiles. And we have the seven deacons that Jesus sent out to preach to the Gentiles. And then later on, we have the fulfillment of that in Revelation with the seven churches that John preaches to, the Gentile churches that are the symbol of the Gentile community, the Christian community. Now, again, could those numbers just be numbers? Yeah, they could be. But it seems kind of interesting that they're very specific, and Jesus reiterates them later on. So Jews and Gentiles, it doesn't matter. All good things come from God. And we, however, forget this fact in our own lives, just like the disciples. I mean, the very next thing after this, again, we don't know how much time passed, but the very next story or section of Mark is they were in the boat and they had one loaf of fish. They seem to have forgotten that God's provision was for them. Now think about our own lives. How many times do we sit up at night worrying about what we have or don't have, or worrying about what's going to happen next because we're not quite sure God's going to give us what we need? How many times do we forget that God has promised to give us all good things? How often do we forget to praise God when everything's going well, but then worry and fret when things aren't quite going right, rather than trusting Him to take us through the hard time into hope and peace and certainty? See, there's a reason Jesus included in the Lord's Prayer, "Give us this day our daily bread." And when it's interesting what Luther lists in that daily bread. I mean, it's not just food, but it's clothing and shelter, it's house and home, it's family, it's wife, it's child, it's intellect, it's body and soul, it's good weather, it's everything that you could possibly imagine that is required for us to live in this earth. Everything is part of the daily bread, and without God's gracious provision, we would not be here. And God gives it to all people, Jews, Gentiles, believers, non-believers. He lets the rain fall upon the evil and the righteous. He provides for all that we might understand and give glory and praise to God and be confident that no matter what, He will take care of us. Because He has always provided for us. He has always given us what we need for this life. Again, when we talk about, and I wondered, why in the world do we have this creation narrative connected with the feeding of the 4,000? How does that fit in? Well, you go back to the first article of the Creed, "I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth." Well, what's the ultimate provision for us? Well, He made everything. He brought everything into existence. He brought us to life by breathing into us the breath of life. And then He plants us in a garden, and He plants all these good and marvelous food for us to eat. And He gives it to us all out of a gift. As Paul says, the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life. Well, not only is it eternal life, not only is it our spiritual life that God provides for, but it's also our physical well-being. God provides all of it. And we are called to rely upon and trust and understand that everything that we have and everything that we need comes from God. And we are totally and utterly dependent upon Him. And how does Luther end both of those phrases about, what God gives us, the daily bread and the creator of heaven and earth? He says, all of this God does out of fatherly divine goodness and mercy without any merit or worthiness within us, for which it is our duty to thank and praise, serve and obey Him. That's it. And that's what we are called to do. Not worry and fret, but thank and praise. Not sit back self-satisfied and dumb, fat, and happy, but serve and obey. We have been called out of sin, not to be sit back on our laurels and enjoy our comfort, but we've been called to be servants or slaves of God. We were slaves to sin, And that did us no good. That wasn't joyful or beneficial to us. I mean, we are called to remember in all of this, God gives us all good things, including his word and his law, including how we are called to live, because it's good to live under the house of God according to his commands, because that's the best way. That's how he's designed us to live, so that we might give him glory and we might praise his name amongst the nations. But when we sin, or when we seek after sin, how often do we try to see how close we can get to going over the line without quite going there? How far, how many of our pet sins do we go, well, it's not really that bad. I really like doing that. You know, I don't want to admit that I'm really that awful, that I've really fallen that far from God. My pride doesn't want me to admit that I've fallen short. But what does us allowing ourselves to sin, what does it bring us? Does it bring us happiness and joy? It might bring temporary pleasure, but it's fleeting. And then it's gone. And then the guilt and the anxiety and the fear come. And so we become slaves. It's not like we can play with sin and just let it go, because we are the master of sin. But when we play with sin, sin becomes our master, and it controls us, and it consumes us. And we are to flee from that, even if that means being a slave to God. But being a slave to God is a joyous thing, because he does not leave us as slaves. He calls us children and sons and daughters. So even though we are rightfully slaves, we have no right to expect anything else other than to be the servant of God. And when we get done, we should expect nothing other than, I've only done my duty. I should not get rewarded for having done the bare minimum possible. And yet, God gives us the free gift of eternal life. And he gives us all good things. He gives us our body and soul, our eyes and ears, our intellect. He gives us food and clothing and shelter. He gives us good friends and good government and good everything. He gives that all to us freely. We are completely the result of the gift of God. Everything that we have and everything that we are. So why would we want to put our toe on the side of sin, to see how close we can get? Why not hold fast to the promises of God and remember that he has provided all things to us, and now we are in the family of God, and we are free from the wages of our sin, and complete heirs of the promises of God. So what do we do, being the beneficiaries of this marvelous, wonderful gift of God? Thank and praise him, serve and obey him. And as Luther says, this is most certainly true. May his grace and his mercy and his peace be and abide with you always, now and forevermore, unto life everlasting. Amen. We confess the faith that God has given to us in the words of the Nicene Creed. Please rise.